Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.
Welcome everybody to another episode of Electrician Live. My name is Paul Abernathy, one of your hosts here at Electrician Live that comes to you every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And with me always, my cohort in crime, the basement king himself, Mr. Jay Grunberg.
What up, what up?
Welcome, Jay. Been a good week. How has the week been in Colorado?
It's been amazing, man. Nothing new over here other than just great weather and a lot of work. You know, we are working like crazy. I think this last week we did 50 hours. So
wow.
Working a bunch.
And again, everybody always knows that it's nice to keep a nice work-life balance. So I know that there was a birthday that took place this week, and you happened to get to a Rockies game. Is that right?
Yeah, it was actually my son Xavier, who's actually 15 today. And we also brought someone along with us that I'll be introducing to you guys here in a bit. So
awesome. So, again, I'm not a Rockies fan, but I'm most certainly not a Seattle Mariners fan, and I know that you went there for the Mariners, okay? All right, so I won't hold that against you. Most certainly not going to do that, okay? Okay, or I might. You never know. The night's young. So welcome. What do we got here? We got the people that are joining us here tonight. Again, remember, if you're listening to the podcast over on electricianlive.com or Spreaker, Spotify, Deezer, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, many ways to listen to our show. But if you get a chance to jump on over to the live stream and watch the video as well as post comments and questions in the box, do that at youtube.com/masterthenec. We'd love to have you over here joining us. Remember to shout out, let us know where you're at, where you're from, what you're doing. We love to hear it. So what do we have, Jay? Do we have some shout outs for tonight? What do we got? Who we got in house?
Yeah. So far on the YouTube side, we have Kevin. We have O always comes. So what's happening, O? We have Mr. Schwartz. Schwartz in the house.
In the house.
And Michael again. So Mike and Mike. We have Mike and Mike in the house tonight.
Mike and Mike in the house. All right.
The Facebook side, I don't have any shout outs yet because no one's posted except for myself. So come on, Facebook.
Yeah, and I still haven't been able to get the chat to actually show up on the screen. So again, I've come to the conclusion that it is not me, it is the software, and that's all I'm gonna say about that. All right.
You know, as I say that, Anthony posts on the Facebook side, he says he passed his wireman's test.
Oh, there you go. Hold on. I got to. Okay. That's awesome. Awesome. Who else we got?
And then we got Will Smith from Fort Myers, Florida. What up, Big Willie?
There you go. In the house. All right. All right, Jay, we also have to pay homage, I guess, to our sponsor this week. As you see across the bottom of the screen, if you are looking for any swag, baby, you're looking for beanie hats, regular hats, hats like this, you're looking for shirts, you're looking for jackets, you're looking for sweatshirts, tumblers, mugs, stickers, phone cases, whatever you want to show your electrician pride, show your master, show your journeyman, show your whatever. Make sure you check out electricianpride.com. So we're going to run that commercial and we'll get into tonight's topic. And we have a special guest with us tonight as well for that topic. So let's go on and run this commercial and then we'll get into it. Today's show is sponsored by electricianpride.com. Your one-stop shop for electrician-specific t-shirts, hoodies, phone cases, mugs, die-cut stickers, leggings, and so much more. featuring unique designs for electricians, journeymen, and master electricians, as well as electrical engineers and electrical inspectors. For more information on all the products that are available, visit us at www.electricianpride.com today. All right, and I also want to thank everybody out there that has gone to Electrician Pride and purchased shirts, polo shirts, all those type of things. Again, thank you very much. Hopefully you've been very pleased with the goods that you've gotten. Okay, so thank you again for all that support that you give us. Also, shout out to our Fast Track students out there. Last night, Jay, we had a good training session last night, a good Q&A, dug deep into a bunch of questions, helping them, helping ultimately pass that electrical exam. That's what it's all about. So, again, Fast Tracks exclusively on Wednesday nights. You get a one-on-one with me, or I should say a room full on one with me on the National Electrical Code. And I will work things out and explain it and teach you. So join us by becoming a Fast Track student today. Double commercial. Whoop, whoop. All right. Jay, what's our topic? What is our topic for tonight?
So the topic tonight is how to become an effective project manager. And we actually brought in a guest who is my project manager at Wired Up Electrical Design here in Denver, Colorado. And we're going to get his input on his project managing. And he's probably been a project manager for me for about 2 years now. Okay. So again, he's running at a fast pace. But yeah, tonight's going to be about how to be an effective project manager. Hey, Mike Schwartz says he's having trouble hearing me. I don't know if anybody else is. I did just add a mic, so.
I'm hearing you fine. So, okay. if anything, hey. Jay, you can go into your settings on that Rodecast and where it has the numbers, you can bump that number up. If your audio is not in that nice green arrow, you can give a little bit of a boost if they can't hear you, in the Rodecaster and the Rodecast app. Which is what Jay's using on his end. I'm using the console version, things like that. So, hey, I believe you got multiple employees in the house here. I believe you have Pacheco. That is in the house.
Yep.
I don't know if I say the name right. Now, Kevin says Jay's muffled, but he sounds really good to me. So I'm not sure what that is. But again, new mic, new work in progress. I don't know what your number is on your mic, Jay, but you might keep it around 27, 28, 26, 27.
Yeah, let me go ahead and
but see you if want I to make sure that you while. It's a new mic, so you want to make sure you stay about, 8 to 10 inches away. Look at that. I'm telling him how to do the mic, okay? All right. So let's see here. He says Jay sounds like he's on a phone call. Well, he's not going to sound as robust and sexy as me, Christopher. I know that. That's impossible for him. It truly is, and you know this because you know him, okay? It's like, tell you what, sexy cardboard. That's what he's like. So anyway, so we do the best we can here on the show because we are lowbrow and it got a limited budget. You know what I'm saying? So we actually strung out some cans with some wire all the way to Colorado, and when people don't know that, we actually pull the can, and that's how we communicate. That is exactly what we do here on this show. All right, so we're going to talk about project management. How to be a good project manager, how to give some insight into project management. I think it's fundamental on smooth job function to be able to be that liaison between the work that's being done and the owner. A good project manager can keep a project flowing, keep it on track. In a lot of projects, if you don't have a project manager, you can fall behind. And, of course, there can be penalties in some big projects if you don't stay on track. So, all important things, and we're going to talk about that, and we have questions that we're going to have for our special guests. So, without further ado, let us go on and introduce, our special guest. So, all right. So, tonight we want to welcome Chris Westfall. Or is it Westfall? Westfall?
That's right. Westfall.
Westfall. There we go.
Okay. Just like the old basketball coach from the Suns.
Oh, there you go. There you go. What was his name? Jay Westfall? Or was it? What was his name?
That was Paul Westfall, but I could be wrong.
No, but I remember the Westfall part.
Me too. That's the only part I remember too.
There you go. That's right. See, there is no famous Abernathy, so You know what I'm saying? Oh, wait a minute. That's not true. As the civil rights, famous Abernathy, there's... Okay, anyway. And I'm,
yeah, it's Coach Paul Westfall.
Coach,
that's I knew it was Paul.
There you go. See, well, there you go. Got the Paul. We got Paul and Westfall here tonight. So, welcome to the show, Chris. Thanks for coming and
being with
us.
Thank you for having me. I'm very honored to be with you guys.
Oh, thank absolutely. You. Honor's all ours. We appreciate you coming and joining us tonight.
Cool.
So Jay, let's kind of get into this with Chris and let's talk about. So before we kind of lead into some of the questions, I know that people out there, you know, they think, what's the difference between a project manager? Oh, no, before we don't want to get into that yet. We need Chris to tell us a little bit about Chris. Chris, how'd you get into the business? How did you hook up with Jay and them? And tell us a little bit about yourself. See, I forget about that. That's supposed to be Jay's part, but he's messing with his mic. So go ahead.
Yeah, I'm messing with my mic, guys. So hopefully, Chris, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me know, guys, if my mic is coming through. So take it away, Chris.
It's coming through. It just sounds like a little phone call-y. Where do I start? I started an electrician. I know some people start when they're like 20 early. I know, Paul, you started a lot earlier, and I wish I did as well, but I didn't start until I was like 34. I was in sales from 20 to all the way to 34 years old. I actually ran a sales company during that time as well. So that's all I ever knew is just doing sales. Never went to college and never did any of that stuff, but just got kind of sick of sales a lot. I got sick of it, got real burnt out on it. So then just decided to work in a warehouse. So I actually worked at an electrical supply house here in Denver called Cost Negative right now because we can't find material worth a darn. But that's another story for another time. but yeah, and then I just noticed that all the electricians that came in were always asking for help and how they just need more people. And finally, I decided to jump ship. I worked for an old guy for about 2 years, but he wasn't really wanting to expand at all. He just wanted to run just one van and just do him. He was 65 years old. He's getting ready to probably retire. So I just had to work for someone a little bit more youthful and, you know, wanting to grow. And I know Jay from a friend of another friend, and I did a side job with him. And Jay offered me a position to work with him. So I decided to jump ship and work with Jay, and that's where I've been for the last 4 years now.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your role as a project manager, and then we'll kind of get into the insights and things on what your philosophy of a good project manager is and what people coming up, because, you know, I tell people all the time, Chris, and me and Jay have talked about this, we need followers in this industry, and we need leaders in this industry. And so I like to think that there's a bridge between the electrician who does the job and the owner. And then there has to be people that lead the path from entry up through the company, up through learning the trade, up through managing people, up through learning those additional leadership skills to the point where they're running projects and things like that. So I'm thinking that's a project manager has to be a leader, a good organizer, things like that, a good communicator between the people and liaison between the owner and the people and your staff. So tell us kind of what you think makes a good project manager and your thoughts on that whole concept of being a project manager and what it means to you.
Excellent. Well, at first, I didn't really want to be a project manager, to be honest with you, because I love electrical work. Like, I love field work, and I love working with the guys. So when Jay first started talking about it, I'm like, I don't know how I'd feel about it. But now that I've been doing it for the last 2 years, I love it just as much as I love being an actual electrician. But I do.
So what you're saying is, since you're a project manager, you can't be an actual electrician.
I was gonna say, bro, you're still an electrician. Okay.
Yeah. Right? No. I know.
Just tell you, man. This guy can rope with the best of them, right here, man.
Shoot, I do the work of three guys, but I don't want to toot my own horn. All right.
I got buttons for that. Hold on. I have buttons for that. Code turd. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chris. Wrong button. I didn't mean to hit that one. It was supposed to hit the button with all types of exuberant joy and laughter, and you know, but I missed it. Sorry.
I love it. But no, talking about, I guess the first thing, I mean, this is just how it's always been, just having a good attitude, you know? I think that's like, it's very contagious. When you have a good attitude, everyone else has a good attitude, and it's really easy to come in with a bad attitude, especially when we work in the trades, and you can just come in, just doom and gloom if you want to. But sure. I feel if you make the work feel like the best party in town, it makes everybody else want to be there, you know, and it makes them want to work a lot harder instead of just, you know, clocking in, clocking out, and that's all you do, and just, you know, do some electrical work. But I do believe as a project manager or a leader of a crew, you just have to have a good attitude, because your people will start following that as well. So I think that's a good place to start.
Well, when you know, project managers, kind of tell us what's the day in the life of a project manager? Because you've got a project, and you got the electricians that are going to do the project, right?
Correct.
So, what's the day like for a project manager? You know, at Wired Up Electrical Design. I mean, what's the day like? Interaction with the electricians that are be doing the work. Interaction with Jay, which will represent ownership. How does that work in the day?
First of all, you want to make sure you have the material on site for your guys. So that usually is how I start off the day, is by making sure the material is getting there or it got there in some sort of way. Then showing up to the project, making sure my guys have everything they need. If anything has changed on the project, maybe the homeowner or the general contractor changed something, getting that done, figuring out how long it's going to take and what's needed and what material is going to go into making any sort of changes is usually some of the first things that go into getting that day started.
All right. Okay. So project manager, and, you know, whether large scale, small scale, one of the things to figure is making sure that the material is there for the guys to work so that they don't have to have the excuse of why they're not working or we're sitting around. Things like that go. So as a project manager, also protecting the interest of the owner, obviously.
Correct.
Nobody wants to pay for labor that's sitting around, that type of thing.
Or material that could be used that's on the van.
Right.
Right. A lot of times guys will just go, they'll drive their van all the way to the supply house and get something that's been in their van the whole time. And I think sometimes you get you got to kind of focus the crew leads into looking for those kind of things first, you know, before they start jumping the ship to just go snag what they already have.
So does the project manager in your case, so you have leads and you're the project manager, do you work more interacting with the lead versus interacting with the individual electricians and helpers or apprentices and things like that? So your interaction is, so we have multiple layers in the way this works for y'all. It's the electrician, our site electrician, we will say the doer, the worker, for lack of better description, our doer, and they're communicating with their lead. Right. The lead communicates with you.
Right.
And you communicate with Jay.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep. It's a trickle down effect. And really we call the other guys hands, the apprentices, they're good hands. Cause again, we don't have a huge turnaround, but until they've been with us, you know, 6 months, they're really there just for us to teach them, you know, we're teaching them on site. And so we got a good system. Okay. I think Chris is right.
Oh, well, you gotta teach your guys to be teachers, as well. And I think that's super important in my position, is because a lot of times they're like, well, how do I train this guy that's not doing it the way that I need him to, you know, because everyone gets trained a little bit differently. And sure. I know sometimes when you have a new leader, you tend to get, especially you got to teach the crew leads to like be patient with their new guys, because all they want to do is just burn them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like always critiquing them. And then I noticed the apprentices are like, I never do anything right.
Right.
And maybe that's true, but it's the way that you go about it. So I believe there's a build, burn, build system that I go off of that I teach my guys, where if you're going to ever critique someone, you got to tell them, you know, something they're doing good. Don't just start off with something bad, mm-hmm. but tell them something they did good. And, hey, you did that good, yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
And then you got to get to the burn, the part that they probably messed up on, and explaining that to them. But then ending it on a good note, being like, hey, look what you're doing it like that. Or, hey, I got good news. You can't get any worse or anything like that, you know. So
yeah.
I do believe in teaching these guys how to communicate with them properly. And I know Jay said that we don't have much turnaround at our company. And I think a big reason for that is because of the way we do train our guys.
Sure.
Well, yeah, let me ask you something, Chris. When you were a crew lead out in the field and you were a big time installer, how did you earn the respect of your guys out there? And then when you went in, I guess a two part question. Then when you went into the project manager, did you have to re-earn their respect since you're kind of going now from a different position, a higher level, and how did you do that with them?
I think you just got to be sincere with your guys. I think that you got to make things special as a crew lead or project manager. You know what I mean? Like, you should show that you care about your people, success just as much as your success as well. You know, wanting them to become either licensed or learning the next thing or learning how to do a three-way or learning how to do the panel or whatever it may be, to them. You know, let them know you're not just there for yourself, but you're also there for them too. You know what I mean? Like, if they feel that you're sincere, then I don't know. I believe they'll just as much as you're sincere. They'll earn their dedication and their respect, you know. And I did that with small things, you know, coming in with donuts or coffee or making sure, you know, my guys are taken care of, or I buy them a tool, when they least suspect it, just something that they're like, I don't know, maybe it was mostly for me, because if I ask for a tool and I want to make sure that they have that tool on them. So sometimes I'll buy that tool for them, but necessarily it'll be for the good cause of the whole crew.
Dude, I do that with my wife, right? I do that with my family. If I want something, I buy it and try to convince it it's for them, but it's for me.
So you're buying their respect, huh?
I know. Okay. They'd be like,
okay.
Hey, whatever works, you know. But, you know, I think inherently. And I used to do this as I used to train a lot of apprentices and helpers. The concept was you have to let somebody take enough responsibility to fail, and because they're only going to learn from that.
Correct.
And so I don't really ever mark it up as a failure. It's a learning experience, as long as you're not learning too much on my dime from things that aren't recoverable. But at the end of the day, that's the only way you're truly going to learn. And again, I can't expect a helper. I can't expect a journeyman. I can't expect some of the masters to be able to achieve something unless I show them. And the fact that when you can step in, instead of saying do something, have you ever seen that old saying where a guy's a leader and he's sitting up on a pedestal while the people are doing the work, yet he's labeled leader, but he's barking commands at everybody else? I think a very effective leader is somebody that can say, you know, if I ask you to do something, it's because I will strap on my tools at any time and I'll do it. It's not beneath me to do any task.
Yeah.
So right, I always tell leaders, for example, if you're coming to a job, I used to do this, guys would go to a job, it'd be at the end of the day, and the boss, me, I'd go out there and I'd start sweeping up the job site in front of them. Yep. And I mean, I want a clean job site, but again, I was also not naive. I was sending a message. Dude, I put my pants on just like you. I work for my money just like you. I appreciate you, and I'm going to send that message. And I think in a lot of companies, the ownership lose sight of that. And again, it causes dissent in the company. People resent things and things like that. And I get the feeling that Jay would throw on his tool belt and jump out there. I think same with you, would jump and throw on the tool belt if you need to and do something where necessary. And that goes a long way.
Right. Well, there was a kind of an example today. You were saying that you learn more from your failures. I had one of my crew leads today that I was working with, And he had inspection today, and he knew he had a couple of things he needed to do in the morning, and he needed my help. So he called me, and he says, hey, can you help me get this ready? There's a little bit more. There's more stuff than I thought. So I was like, cool. So I went down there, and while we were working, I started pointing out some of the things he forgot to think about doing to pass an inspection, like smoke detectors. I'm like, did you test them? Did you make sure they have power? And he's like, no. And all this other stuff. And then he kind of had a little bit of an upset moment to himself. That he's like, look, we're canceling the inspection. I'm going to call Jay right now and we're going to cancel it. And I'm like, no. Even if we know we're going to fail, I would rather fail and learn something from that than just give up on it right now.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do believe learning from those failures. And the funny thing is we didn't really fail on one or two things for the island and just labeling like one or two things on a panel. But
more like
we were completely
things.
Ready for them and all that other fun stuff. So, yeah.
So Jay is the owner. He's like, well, no, maybe three or four things. You know, I think. But
oh, it was two. It was two.
Look, he's exaggerating. Jay just exaggerated. Two is really five. Five is 10. You know, that's how Jay is on that type of thing. So tell us, what advice would you give to somebody who's, let's say they're like, you know, not everybody wants, and me and Jay refer to this term apprentisaurus as people that get into this trade and they stay there a long time at a certain level. They're not striving to move forward. But then you have, and that's fine if that's what your thing is, but I believe that we always should be striving to improve ourselves. And if rank, achievement, higher class, how we move up is just a byproduct of that, that's okay. I mean, that's what we want. But we always should be trying to better ourselves, increase our knowledge and all this type of thing. So if you were giving advice to an electrician that's coming on and they want to get to a leadership role, they want to get to a responsibility role and take on more of that responsibility level, what advice should you give them? How should they play their? I want to say something like, how should they know their role as they move through the process to get to be something like a project manager?
All right. I'd say two things. First thing I think is just setting a really good example. Your people should want to emulate you. Got to be the first one there.
I like him, Jay. Just to let you know, and I love your other guy. You know, Chris is in the house. Pacheco, I guess I say the name right.
Pacheco
was on a show earlier too. You got some good people here, but I like
really that, good guys, man.
I like that thought process, and I'll let you finish, Chris. But when everybody knows me, I teach leadership classes to other companies privately, mentoring stuff. When I hear something like that, emulation, be what you expect your people to be like. If they're going to be asses and running around and throwing things and getting in trouble, they emulate, right?
Yep.
If you set the tone and you say, this is not how it's going to be, they got really two choices, right?
Yep.
Do it or leave. Go Correct. Somewhere else.
Correct.
That type
and
of thing.
I mean, again, with the emulating part, when someone's, even when they're new, I try and drive home that they're going to be a leader no matter what. This is how I feel about being an electrician. It's not just what you can do. It's what you can teach and train other people to do. That is just as important as what you can do. I mean, that's being, first thing is just being on time, you know, and that's the thing I drive home really hard. If anyone has ever worked with me as a crew leader or even project manager, you know that if you've ever been late, I'm not going to yell at you or anything like that, but you know that the first couple of times you're late, I'll let it slide. But then once it starts to get two or three times, you get the little stern talking.
We call that the Westfall whooping.
Well, you know, there is a way you can convey your disappointment with somebody and not totally demolish them.
Correct. I mean, I think that's almost worse when you're disappointed more than you are mad.
Yeah. Because I expected more of you.
I know that's how it is for me anyways.
So. Yeah, well, if I expect more of somebody, and if Jay worked for me, and you know, and Jay was doing something, and Jay did something, and it would probably eat him up if I looked at him and said, you know, Jay, I expected more from you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did. I expected more from you. Rather than yell at him, I mean, what's happened has happened. What's done is done.
Yeah.
And those things drive home, especially when you're new. You'll remember that. And I feel like when you're training these guys in the field, you're not just training them to be electricians. You're almost training them to be men in a way, you know, like you're teaching them how to dress professionally. You know what I mean? Don't be sad. Like it's, you can sag your pants, whatever, but being just more professional, demeanor, like carrying yourself more professionally, I suppose. If you think that your apprentices are not watching you, because I know a lot of the times this is, goes to setting an example. If you don't think your guys are watching you, they watch everything you do. Yeah. They are, even if you don't think they are. So
it's always
you gotta
work fuel on that
time
fire.
Management. You got to dress the part. You got to talk the part. You got to do all those things. So it's installing the part. You know, like I know when I was a crew lead, I always would show off. Like if you bent some conduit and it looks amazing, it's always good to just shout out your own work or just show them how good things can be, you know?
And there is, Chris, a fine line between being proud of something and arrogant. And somebody that's good at that can, because I used to tell people all the time, years and years and years ago, it'll fill a funny story. I created probably one of the first websites years and years and years ago called The Electrical Guru. That was my website. That was my logo. You know, it was The Electrical Guru. I took so much heat from the haters out there because they said, oh, well, Paul thinks he's a guru. And what I said was, I know how to market. And I was marketing my website and marketing my services as The Electrical Guru. I'm just Paul Abernathy. But I tell people all the time, it is okay to toot your own horn because nobody else is going to toot it for you.
Right.
But you can do it without being arrogant and just proud of what you do. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with being proud. All right. But people see things and they see things the wrong way. But in a project management way, you can shed light on that. And I would always praise the helpers and the apprentices when they did something very well. You know, that's a great job, man.
It's making it. I feel when you're doing that, you're making the job just more fun. You know what I mean? It's like it's a challenge for them to work up to getting to that point. You know what I mean? Because it's all about, it's like, what's the old saying? High tide raises all ships.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're setting a good example for them, I think another thing is for those people that are like moving up into that or whatnot would be, I call it speed of the leader, speed of the pack. So the harder that you work, the harder everyone else works. And not only that, but your apprentices are probably going to make I don't know. It seems like they make twice as many mistakes as you, or if not more. I kind of call it apprentice's revenge. Whatever you put your journeyman through, your apprentices are probably going to put you through it twice as much. So be very careful on how you are as an apprentice, because you don't want those kind of things to come back and bite you in the butt, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
Sure.
But that's a... It's a big reason you want to be as perfect as you can for your people. But sorry, go ahead. Sorry to cut you off, Jay.
No, you're good. What is this thing? What's this saying mean? I hear this all the time. I hear people say, "Hey, you're a company man." Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you guys have heard this before. You know, hey, you're a company man now, or hey, now that you're salary, you don't care about us.
The translation for that, Jay?
Hear?
The translation for that is you're a sellout now.
Yeah, you're a sell. Yeah.
Hey, that's translation.
I'm not selling out. I'm buying in.
Dude,
I'm buying in.
Damn, I got music for that. Hold on. There you go. There you go. There's many a people out there though in the trade who wallow in other people's misery. Trust me, there is people out there who will look at your face and smile and say, "I'm happy for you." And when you turn away, they're going, "I hope you fail."
Right.
And people love misery. It's awful. I have helped people because I want to see people succeed. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep on your thought.
A company man would be, just someone that's like looking out for the company. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I always did when I was a crew lead. Like, if I saw wire nuts, just like sometimes you're sweeping up at the end of the day and you see wire nuts and RC50s and black booties and crimps or whatever, staples. And some people just sweep it up and throw it away. And I'm just like, what? No, like, I was always the guy like taking it out, putting it in other people's bags. I'm like, you're going to need this at some point. This will probably be your last one at some point. And actually, this was about 2 weeks ago. I had a guy go, but he's all, but really, how much you really think you're saving the company? And I'm like, well, if you think about it, even if you're only sweeping up, I don't know, $5 a job, let's just say it's $5 a job for every basement, because he's the basement king. So let's say we do 3 basements a week. So I calculate it for him. And if we're wasting $5 on 3 basements, you know, that's $15 times 52 weeks. That's $780.
Well, I can even make it worse. If you don't teach people how to properly pull cable and how to properly wrap it around the box so that you don't have an extra 2 foot they're cutting off and it's getting a stack of copper sitting on the floor because they don't properly know how to pull the cable. So they need a certain amount. You know, we want 6 inches from the point that the cable enters into the box. We want for terminating and things like that. But these guys, they just start looping it. And next thing you know, I've been in jobs where there's a foot and a half and people go, well, it's better to have too much than not enough. No, you can do that right because I've done it. And, you know, if you teach them this, then they know how to wire it right. They know how to pull the cable right. They know how to do everything. And you don't have a wasteful crew, right? Because it all adds to the bottom line, that type of thing. But I do have a question for you, Chris. I'm going to ask you a management style question. Ready? So what happens if you got some guys on the site and, you know, all of a sudden somebody show you're out with Jay. Y'all are out. You know, you're having an upper level management meeting at Hooters maybe, and you're going there or Chili's. You know, kind of jealous of say. And
it's called
Hooters
Zoom
in this
meeting.
House. Okay, yeah. So you go Raisin. To Chili's. You go somewhere and you're looking at it, and you all of a sudden see a TikTok or a Instagram video of guys goofing off on one of wired up Electrical Design's job sites, horsing around, acting a fool. How does Chris Westfall react to that come the next morning?
Well, it depends on what you mean by goofing around. Are they like tearing up the job site, or are they just dancing around doing some weird TikTok dance video?
Oh, gosh, Jay. Let's see. Maybe posting it. Okay, let's say it this way. Let's say posting something on TikTok and or YouTube or whatever that shines negatively on Wired Up Electrical Design. And I don't know what that would be, okay? Right. But would be something that you would look at and go, no,
right.
No, that's not, no. How do you react to that?
Well, whoever the crew lead was, I'd pull him aside. Probably I wouldn't do it in front of everybody. I don't know. I just don't believe in that. Like, I feel like when you do it in front of people, they feel demeaned, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd probably pull them off to the side and be like, hey, I saw that video. It looked like fun, but this is how it reflects on our company in the long run. And I'd let them kind of like understand what that means in a way on a deeper level, more than just what they were having fun on the job site, you know what I mean?
Okay, and part two.
Okay.
Part two to that question is, the employee looks at you and says, you don't control my after hours, Chris.
Correct. But
the video wasn't after hours.
Correct. The video wasn't after hours. It was on your paid time, but it still reflects badly on the company. And it's okay. I don't care what you do in the privacy of your own home. That's fine with me. But whatever you do on that clock reflects all of us as a company in the long run. That's what I would say to them.
Yeah, very good. Very good. One of those questions are always asked at interviews when you hire somebody in management. One of the questions in some form of question that appears on every single entry questionnaire is, this is a scenario, how do you react? And you answered it in the most amazing way is that you go to that person's supervisor and you get them involved so that they can have an opportunity to talk to that employee if that's what it is. But you don't call somebody out in front of everybody else and demean them. You follow the proper change. You follow the proper people to do so. And if it's lead, you know, if it was that crew lead and he was involved in it, then that's probably even worse. But I like your approach.
Thank you. I see on the chat here, my foreman told me today not to be spending time talking to my helper about voltage. Again, if it's taking too long, I would understand that. But I've taken time, as my guys know. I'll be like, look, class time, we're going to talk about voltage. You know what I mean? So sometimes I'll be doing that. And even as a project manager, I still do that. I'll quiz the new guys. You know, what are the GFI circuits of a house? You know, and I'll list them all out for them. And obviously, I kind of like to talk and work at the same time. So
I was going to say, most of us electricians can chew gum and drill holes and talk at the same time. So
correct.
You know,
that's just how I feel about it. But I think another thing that's important about crew lead management and just being a leader is learning to be friendly, but not friends right off the bat. You know, one of the quickest ways I believe you'll probably lose the respect from your people is by being like too buddy buddy too fast.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have ever met somebody that like tells you their whole life story after like 5 minutes of knowing them. And it's like,
Jay did it. You know, from the moment I met him, he had to tell me everything about him. And I was like, Jay, that's just too much, bro. I don't need to know all those things. Okay. I'm just saying.
I'm still working on trying to get that one friend. So just be easy on me, guys. I'm still at -5 right now. So
stop that. But no, because what ends up happening is when you become too friendly and you guys are all friends now, and let's say you do that TikTok video, but now you've been in trouble for it, and now you got to talk to your guys.
It's tough.
About not doing something like that.
Yeah, it's tough.
They're going to take it way too personal or whatever it is. Or if you just critique their work in the field, they take it way too personal and they take it really, really hard. It's a lot harder to get them back on track once you become friends. You can't like unfriend somebody that easily. Sure. You know, then it just gets weird. So I just believe in like keeping a distance. Here, this is what I do is I just say, if they go, hey, I want to be your friend, be like, look, I'll be friendly with you during the next year or two. But once you become licensed, then we'll be best friends. But until then, I'm going to be criticizing you and critiquing you. And it's going to really suck for me. And it's going to really suck for you in that process. But that's the way it's going to have to be just to make sure that we get this process done right.
Yeah, I think that I've had it in the past where that's been encountered where people – where you have I had a position where you have two people that are at the same level and they have a kind of a friendship. Then all of a sudden that person gets promoted. The other person gets promoted and ends up being their boss. Yeah. And then it's an awkward situation. And I was asked to comment on that for a contractor who this happened to. And I told the gentleman that got promoted, I said, you know what? You're the one that now has to dictate it. And the key to this is you can still be friends. There's nothing wrong with being friends, but you have to be able to draw that line. Right. And you, there's certain things that you can't do with them. You can't go out drinking half the night or something with them. And as much as that may sound terrible, like, hey, man, I'm going to let nothing mess up my friendship. I told him, I said,
yeah,
you're now their boss. And it's hard for you to come down on them if you need to. If the guy says, dude, what's up? We were just out drinking until 2 a.m. in the morning. Yo, you're my bro.
Right.
You're going to have to say, look, I can't do some of those things anymore. Okay. Right. And then that's where you get the moniker sell out or whatever. And it's not. It's now you're having to go up one extra level of investment in the company.
Right.
And
you got to learn how to wear those different hats, too. You know, it's like an iron fist with a velvet glove. You need like a firm side And then you also need a soft side. Mm-hmm. And you got to learn how to do those at the right time, because a lot of this is timing, you know, especially when working with guys and like setting standards for everybody and, mm-hmm. you know, setting guidelines. But your guys won't respect you for long if they're not learning from you, you know. Sure. Sometimes learning, you got to have that iron fist. But then again, when things like today, had a guy having a hard time wanting to get the place ready for inspection. Don't get me wrong, I had my iron fist at one point, but then when I noticed he was kind of having mm-hmm. a hard time with it, I started just to be goofy and fun and having more of a soft side with it to make it a little bit easier to manage the day.
So you would say project managers have to also have a bit of psychology, a little bit of the ability to read people, to develop that, because again, emotions can get really wrapped up into something and you have to be able to kind of just pivot if you need to in a situation, because you can tell when somebody's getting overly emotional, attached to some situation, and you need to be able to divert because you realize it's just not going to be beneficial to anybody, and somebody could simply shut down, and he's not going to do anybody any good to the job if somebody emotionally shuts down.
Yep.
You know, so
yeah, you can even see paychecks over here. Pacheco, he tells his guys, don't even bring the feelings on the job. Mm-hmm. Love don't live here. And again, dude. I think he's a little,
Chris is like, he took that iron fist with no velvet glove. It's just like,
no velvet glove.
Dude, he took that thing off and hung that on the rearview mirror, said, look at it. But yeah, so, okay. So Chris, one of the other things, I guess, in project management, is, what do you feel like as a project manager, you're working as the owner's direct right-hand liaison to situations, or do you take ownership even as a project manager? Because I found that a lot of people that are really good project managers, and I had some that when it worked for me, but also some of the bigger jobs that I would go on to when I worked for NEMA, for example, I would go to large projects because I would be called for code issues or something, and they would always put me with the project manager or somebody that's running the project, and that person would take me around the job and we would explain the situations. And I always felt like the ones that I interacted with, they actually carried themselves as if they were the owner of the company. And I believe
I do that just from the simple fact that I did own and operate a sales company for over 11, 12 years. So I know exactly, because it's what ends up happening, especially with some of the guys in the field, especially if they start seeing some of the money. And I've seen some stuff online where like, well, I made my boss.
Oh, God. Yeah. Here we go.
$1,000. Yep. Blah, 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 and I only made blah, blah, blah. And you got to reel them back in, because I've heard this kind of talk on the crew as well, and I'm like, full stop. Are you paying for the van? Are you paying for the gas? Did you pay for the wire? Did you pay for the insurance? Did you pay for any of those other things? There's so much that goes into the business.
Do you pay the taxes?
You think that $4,000, you think he's just pocketing that whole thing? You're out of your mind. You know,
does like, he pay? Does he? Do you pay the taxes? Do you beat the payroll? Right. Do you have to match the payroll? Do you have to pay the insurance? You know, if you offer it or not, different companies are different. So there's so
all
many
the software,
pieces.
The co-construct, the T sheets, we can make the list go on and on and on, but you got to kind of reel him back in and let him know, look, he's not pocketing all that. That is going to other necessities that allow us the opportunity to work for him. You know, like that's the way that I see it. So I do. I look at it from more of a business owner standpoint and making sure that, like even what I do, I want to make sure that I'm economically smart with my day and my guy's day too. I don't want to be driving, you know, to one project and then having to drive all the way across town and then drive all the way back because of another project. You know what I mean? It's like making your stops and making sure you're being economically smart. Same thing with getting material. Like if I know that I'm heading to a job site or a person, I will always call them and be like, is there anything you need before I get there? So they don't have to make that run, then I can drop it off and make that job go 10 times smoother as well. So, yes, I do definitely look at it from more of a business owner standpoint because I know what it's like.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And I think from a business owner, since we're on that topic, is when you do – when you are interviewing for project managers or you're ready to – give up some of that control, because that's really what it is, right? You build something up the way that you want to see it built. And when you're successful with that, you have a hard time giving up the reins. You know, that control of every box being nailed up right, or every wire being stapled right, and doing it your way to now someone else is going to take a look at that and supervise that. It's hard to give up. And even with a guy like Chris, with all his experience, it was really hard to pass the keys to him at a time. Kind of like what he was saying, he really didn't want to come into the project manager role at the time. Well, it was still hard for me to give that up as well, you know. But on the other hand, when I was having our second child, Eliana, who's about to be two, and that's when really I gave Chris the reins, was when my wife was going into labor. I was like, you got to step in for me, man. He says, yeah, I'm here for you, boss, man. I got this. And from then I just, you know, I just let him kind of take over, man. It's been a huge blessing and the company's just grown. It's just grown since then. You know, I think we've added probably four or five more guys in the last 2 years, if not maybe even six. And what we're starting to see now too is I have more licensed guys than I have apprentices right now. You would think I was a union outfit, but I'm not. I'm still a small kind of mom and pop shop, and we like that mentality. We still like to know everybody by their first names. And so when I gave it over to Chris, I knew I was in good hands. When he would call me back, you know, that was a big thing, is the communication. I think that's where you really find if that guy fits the project manager role, is he calling you on a daily basis? Is he giving you updates? Is he asking you questions? Maybe he gets stumped out in the field. Hey, I can't find this certain material, but can you help me? And that's where we've kind of built this relationship in the last few years to make this company very successful. And I couldn't be any prouder of this guy and what he does for us. So I appreciate you, Chris, and everything you do, man.
Thank you. I'm very thankful to be here as well.
That is awesome. Okay. That is, you know, again, Chris, thanks for coming as well. We're not done yet. We're going to invite you to a segment that we like to do, a new segment that we started. Yeah. And that segment is something that shines a light on installations that maybe aren't the best in the world. Maybe a little bit, I don't know, crappy. I don't know. That brings us into our segment, Chris, that we have tonight. And that is... Code Turd of the Week. We have Code Turd of the Week. All right, there you go. Jay's got the official Code Turd of the Week hat. Code Turd of the Week. Right there. Code Turd of the Week. So for you folks that are over on the podcast, I need you to jump on over to youtube.com/masterthenec, or you can go to electricianlive.com. You can look the video. We have this week's Code Turd of the Week, courtesy of...
I think that's Shitty Electrical on Instagram.
Is that what you think that is?
That's where I found that one at.
Okay. What is it again?
It's Shitty Electrical on Instagram.
Is that what it is? What is it? Who is it?
I'm sorry. God dang it, Paul.
All right. So we have an installation here. Obviously, this is a less than stellar installation for this Code Turd of the Week. And just an observation, we got quite a few things going on in here. Aaron says you're number two.
There's a soda
yes,
can.
Yes, he is. All right. So... Okay, so a couple things that we look at in this Code Turd of the Week is, okay, you called it, and that is, again, as Chris, you know, different people would look at, this there's a chance that that Fanta can, there's a chance that that's not listed for this. I mean, there's a possibility. I'm just saying.
I doubt Fanta's UL listed.
Yeah. NRTLs are not lining up to give Fanta any type of listing. That's for sure. Other issues in this is let's start from the top. What's the first thing we notice with the lugs, Jay?
Yeah, so I'm noticing that there's multiple conductors on each lug, and I'm pretty sure those lugs are rated for one conductor. Even though it's probably rated for maybe a number two, I could be stretching it, and all those 10s and 14s and 12s, whatever mess can fit in it, that lug is still rated probably for one conductor, and I'm counting about four, at least on the white conductor. And I say white, I would say neutral, but I don't even know if that's a neutral in this picture here. I think they're using it as a hot conductor.
Yeah.
So
we've got that. So in this case, we've got, looks like multiple conductors on each lug. And safe to say that we don't know that those lugs may or may not be rated for multiple conductors. Okay. So we'll just kind of throw that out there. The next thing we notice is, let's start from the left. So we have a white conductor. So there's either two things going on here. One, they're switching a grounded conductor, which you generally would not do. Can't say you never do, because there are some allowances in the code to do that. But in this case, it looks like they're switching a neutral conductor. Or they're using those as hot conductors and they're not re-identifying it with black or red or some other color tape around, around the conductor at its termination. So that's not being done. So we really don't know. Another thing that we notice is if you look at the size of the conductors that are connected to that lug, it's pretty distinct that we've got two different sizes going on here. We've got one smaller conductor and then they got two larger conductors, right? In that scenario, right? So that's an obvious issue that we got to deal with.
Let's just say there's more than one flavor.
There is more than one flavor in that outfit, that's for sure. Now, another thing to look at, and just is just subtle stuff to think about, how they're using this with the white, the reds, and the blacks, this is indicative of a three-phase panel. And you right. can't just blindly use three-phase panels for single-phase applications. Now, you may get a panel that is listed both for three-phase or single-phase. But in this case right here, the way that it looks, it looks like a three-phase knife fuse disconnect. Chances are this is being used as single phase and they're bringing the neutral through it and switching the neutral, which they probably should not have done in this scenario. Regardless of using the can, how many amps is the Fanta O says?
Yeah, I think that's a strawberry Fanta. So I'm going to say it pulls about 20 amps because I think yes, the strawberry is the highest.
Highest. What orange, was orange?
Probably 15.
Okay.
Yeah, about 15. So,
well, you're trying to tell me that the Fanta cans are not color coded. So if it was a white Fanta, it would be good for 15 amps. If it's a yellow 12 and an orange 10.
Yeah, 10 gauge. They are color coded. They're just different system. Obviously, okay. You know, strawberry, the pink one or reddish, that's 20. You know, orange 15.
Or know. Instead of identification.
All you've never done this?
No, I guess not. In installation in the code, I guess we no longer have black, red, blue, brown, orange, yellow. We have strawberry, grape, and cherry represents and 277, 480. And I guess, gee, I don't know. We got a new system of doing this, I guess.
Now, at this point, somebody needs a Dr. Pepper to fix this. Dr. Pepper.
That's right.
No Coke product.
No Coke. Ugh, ugh. I'm a Pepsi guy. So anyway, if you look at the bottom right, we try to determine whether or not that was a breaker or not, because it looks like the white conductors are terminating on a lug. We have no idea what that is in this installation, and I blew it up, that type of thing. So anyway, generally a code turd of the week. without a doubt, that type of thing. Now, the other question that was brought up, and Chris brought it up before we went on air, is that what about the grounding? What do we see and what we don't see? Well, this is the kind of things that you hear me say all the time about commenting on images, because it's hard to comment on an image because of things you don't see or things you don't know. So the code allows certain types of the armors in certain lengths, in certain sizes, protected by certain size overcurrent devices, to be used as an equipment grounding conductor. So you have length limitations on it to create an effective ground fault current path. Okay? Well, we can't see what's above it, and we can see a little bit of below it, and so we could say that all of that could be bonded to the raceways or cable assemblies if it's being used as an equipment grounding conductor. We really can't see. This looks like FMC. It could be an older style MC with, I don't know. We know that if it was MC, it's not going to be an equipment grounding conductor. Okay. Cause it's old. It wouldn't be the smart enhanced style. If it was FMC, it could be used in short lengths under certain rules in 250.118. So it could be, there could be not. Okay. That type of thing. So
now let me play, devil's advocate, not that I can play much.
Devil's
but if you look
advocate
at the
for you. The devil's NMC. Advocate, Jay, devil's advocate usually will say that, let me say this is not crappy. I'm going to play devil's advocate and say
that's
glorious install. Okay.
I'm going to say this install is okay in one instance and only one instance only. I see that they could
in Colorado.
Say that they were code compliant. And that's in the bottom left corner with the NMB. I think they have more than a quarter inch sheathing in that box. I'm just going to point that out. I'm just saying it. They did meet one.
Right. Yeah.
Looking at that pie, looking at the cup half full on that one.
Yeah. And I'm going to counter that. I'm going to counter that with the fact that if that was non-metallic sheath cable, then it would have an equipment ground in it. And I don't see one. So I think that must be tray cable maybe or something without an equipment ground
I
or something.
Because get it right.
No, you're fine, but I don't see nothing in that. So, and the reason I say that is because depending on where this is at, even tray cable cannot be installed on the surface of a building exposed. Tray cable has to be installed in raceways, in cable trays, direct buried, on a messenger. You cannot install tray cable simply exposed on the side of a wall. That's a no-no. A lot of people don't know that. They'd say, look, it looks like non-metallic sheath cable. Why can't I just strap it to the wall? You can't. It's either got to go in the ground, if it's listed. It's got to go in a messenger above ground. It's got to go either in a cable tray, okay, or it can go in a raceway. All right, well, chances are that's not none of those. So if that was a tray cable, then that would be for that as well, okay? So maybe it is non-metallic sheath cable. We'll go with that. That type of thing.
Have you ever seen an install where they do use NMB, but they cut the ground? I've seen that in older installs. Not that they just cut it right there because there's no other grounds in the system. So I've seen where they just cut it, or they'll come into it with two NMBs or even three, and they'll cut the grounds off. Just cut them completely off, and you find this in older homes. I mean, I'm dead serious. Chris probably seen a couple of them too, where they just, it's like, you guys had a ground here, but you cut the dang thing.
So the rules in the code is taking an ungrounded system. You can extend a branch circuit on an ungrounded system. You can put in things like GFCIs and do a extension and things like that. Or you have an option to establish an equipment grounding conductor at the location we're extending from a device box that does not have an equipment ground. So you could take an individual isolated, believe it or not, equipment grounding conductor and run that all the way back to the source. And it's just as simple as taking it back to a panel and then going out and driving a ground rod, multiple ground rods, unless you can prove 25 ohms or less to reduce it down to one. And if you do that, then you can establish a system. So there are things that we can do on those systems that are ungrounded systems. We can ground those systems and establish an equipment ground for safety, but you don't take NMB and just say, oh crap, I guess the rest of the circuit doesn't have an equipment ground. Snip, snip, and just put it in. That doesn't work.
I'm gonna go recycle this 6 inches of ground of bare copper. I'm gonna go show them. I'm gonna get my money.
That's right. Absolutely.
There's that Abernathy knowledge right there, baby.
There you go. So, all right. So other than the fact that this looks like it's contaminated with all kinds of crap in there and dust in there and all that other kind of crap in it. Look at the mold at the top left looks Stachybotrys mold or something. So half the family's going to die from wherever this installation is or whatnot. So anyway, I don't know. That's all speculation. Okay.
O wants to know, is it a NEMA 1 or NEMA 3?
That one? You know what?
Could you tell?
Yeah, you know what? I think with the way the hinges are and the way the overhang of the box, I'm thinking that is a NEMA 3.
Mm.
Because typically a Type 1 would be one that would have a simple flat cover on it. It wouldn't have a swing cover.
A flat cover.
And this one has a swing door on it, so I'm thinking this is probably a NEMA 3. Okay. That's just trade knowledge, Jay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you young bucks. All right, so anyway, at the end of the day, there you go, folks. So, again, let's get back to the lecture. That was our code turd of the week. If you have any code turds you want us to review, please, by all means, send them to host, H-O-S-T, at electricianlive.com. If you have any questions, topics.
That right there is a fantastic job, as David Westfall would say.
Yeah.
Is that your brother, Chris?
That's my brother, yeah.
There you go.
Awesome. What's up,
all
baby?
All the way out in Chicago.
Hey, Chicago up, in the baby? House.
Yeah, what's up, David? And crazy thing above him, Aaron Lohr, that's my brother as well. So both brothers,
dude,
in the house.
What's the deal? House. Where's my brother's at?
Where's your brother? I was going to say, where's
my brother? He got tired of me. It was back when we worked together, he got tired of me. It didn't take him but a couple episodes, and he was like, dude, it's the same Paul. I'm done with him. And, you know, that was it. He didn't come back anymore.
You know? See him at Thanksgiving.
Me and my brother would always be on a job, and if I said left, he would say right. If I say put the box here, he'd say put it over here. If I said it had to be here, he'd say put it over here. And it was just always me and him were just always, you know, but he's an amazing electrician. Anyway, that type of thing. So
your brother is also an electrician?
My brother is also an electrician. In fact, the story is that's how I got into the industry. Young, my brother was at a vocational school, and he did very well. And they had a vocational teacher. I was always kind of a troubled kid and always in trouble, smart mouth, always, you know, different, you know, had to get the last word, probably hadn't changed much. And when my brother was in school, he befriended the instructor. It was an older instructor who went through the Army, taught, you know, electrical there, owned businesses, and he was a vocational teacher. And I saw my brother come back from school. And it was during one Christmas that my parents gave my brother a set of electrician tools. And I ain't lying. I swear my brother had a freaking orgasm right there in the living room floor about electrical tools. And I saw this and I was like, no, it wasn't about me wanting to have that feeling. It was like, this guy's excited. My brother was excited. And so in my 10th grade year, I wanted to meet his instructor. I met him, befriended him, and created a relationship. And I ended up going to vocational school and ended up being the valedictorian of the school. And ended up getting adopted into their Hall of Fame and went on to do different things. But it was my brother that got me started in the trade.
So awesome. Is your brother old? How much older is your brother?
He's about 8 years older than me, 7 or 8 years older than me.
Yeah,
yep,
I'm 8 years older than my brother as well.
Yep. So, and that's what got me into it, and you know, and ever since then, it's just been nothing but nonstop. And I was always the code guy, even in high school, even at 16. I was, when kids were doing summer school, I was taking code classes at night, in order to learn code and all this kind of stuff from the local people back in Virginia. You know, shout out to Mr. Lamb. I think he's still alive. Was one of my first ever code teachers. Billy Gilbert, one of my first ever code teachers back in Virginia. I was 16 years old in his code class on Tuesdays and Thursday nights at the vocational school. And so I knew what I wanted to do early on. And it's always been about code and electrical and things like that. And we owned an electrical company, and we grew, and then we grew apart, and I opened my own electrical company and ran that for years. And so just kind of a progression, that type of thing.
Very cool.
All right. Well, Jay, is there anything else that we want to bring to the show tonight? Chris is rolling.
Yeah, so,
what does this mean? Chris is rolling deep tonight.
Chris brought his fan base along for the show. Paul mentioned that because of his brother and paychecks, and I'm probably sure Chris has some other followers. So that's what we mean by rolling deep. That's slang term by bringing the posse, bringing the gang, the clique.
Hey, I got you.
You know, some of you old timers probably don't know much about. Anywho,
probably not. All right, you know. Okay.
Next week's topic kind of rolls into this week's topic, or I should say this week's topic rolls into a little bit next week's topic, which is leadership training, special show on there. So, and where I'm getting this information, guys, is at electricianlive.com. You can go there, check out the previous episodes, and you can also check out we keep it about 2 to 3 weeks ahead of schedule. So we have next week leadership training, and then August 5th. 2 weeks from now, we'll do terminal limitations of 110.14c. We're going to examine it and get some clarification from, obviously, you, Paul, the code expert. So make sure you guys bring your code books on that one. And just so you guys know, you guys can reach out to us at host@electricianlive.com. I'll put it in the chat. Make sure you guys are being proactive with us and giving us topics to talk about. If there's anything you guys want to chime in, you're always welcome to call in on the show. Or just email us at host@electricianlive.com. Let us know what you guys are thinking. Let us know about the show. I know Chris, I'm going to give him some positive feedback. Let us know how Chris did tonight.
If you got questions for Chris, you know, project management questions, things that he specializes in, managing people, Chris, I'll give you an open invitation. You're more than happy to come back to our leadership show. If you'd like to come back to that, I didn't pre-do that with Jay, but if you would like, I'm sure he'd be okay with it. Absolutely. Because we'll have different little talking points on leadership and what's expected of leadership and how everybody can exhibit a little bit of leadership depending on where you are in the hierarchy of the companies. Leadership can go a long way about getting your respect and approval, getting things you want. Can also be something that leadership takes an important role in. So we're going to cover all those type of topics on that episode as well. And I think it'll be a good episode. Absolutely. Well, also, if you do have questions and you want Chris, obviously you can fire them through Jay by sending or fire them through us at host or hosts with an S. Either one comes to us. If you got any questions you want to fire, go for it. Go for it. And then I think, what'd you say, Jay? Next week is the leadership, but the week after that is termination limitations, right?
Terminal limitations of 110.14c.
So over on the Facebook page, over on LinkedIn page, over on the Instagram page, I loathe Instagram, by the way, I can't stand it. But over on it, no offense to Instagram, but I also can't stand Facebook, and Facebook owns Instagram, so that makes sense. Shout out, Jay, to the Sparky Hub. If you want to have a good conversation with other electricians, like-minded, no belittling, it will ask anything platform, do me a favor, go check out thesparkyhub.com. Get yourself a free account and post your questions, chime in, make it a thing, guys. I know sometimes we have certain ones that lead the topics over there, but again, share it. You know what? We need, Jay? We need our warriors out there to actually go out there and spread the word. Share it with other electricians. Yep. Share it with other helpers. Share this show and let people know about it. Join the Sparky Hub. Get an account. If you're trying to learn to exam prep, there's a forum for that on there. If you're trying to find a job, there's a forum on there. If you need to sell something you got, there's a forum on there for that. If you just want to chime in with us, check it out, thesparkyhub.com. Check that out. All right.
Check that out.
Right.
Yeah, I threw my Instagram in there as well. We're actually kind of starting to do a new platform over here where I'm trying to do it daily. I've kind of been slacking, but
he loves Instagram.
Kind of like other educators and teachers, I'm trying to do some code and also have that code be out in the field where I'm actually out in the field, kind of showing you the code and also the install, bringing it together. I take Paul into everything, and of course he tells me how poorly I do and how I'm lacking on my code knowledge. But dude, come join us, man. We're teaching everybody.
All I see on Instagram is this stuff. Shorty, it's your birthday. Shorty, it's your birthday. That's all I see is the women.
Come party like it's your birthday.
Why don't you like that, Paul? Come on. You just got to do your own, and then you'll be with it. You know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah. You just got to find it, man.
You know what?
It's probably because it's not your birthday, bro. You know?
If I move like that, I'll break a hip. All right, so. Till next time, folks. Yeah. Look. We appreciate all of you for joining us on the show and sharing it. Again, Chris, thank you for taking the time to come and be with us tonight. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
Yep. And Jay, thank you as always for being my co-host. Again, being my yin to the yang and the old to the new. I know, but don't get offended if I call you old. But this is what's new. All right, guys. Till next time, stay safe. God bless. Be well.
Electrician Live with your host, Paul Abernathy and Jay Brunberg.